Welcome to Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly, a podcast where we share news, information, resources, tips and tricks about dyscalculia. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes and then search for Dyscalculia Headlines. You can also find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com and then click on the podcast page.
Great overview of what a good assessment should have. Back to school stress, going to college with dyscalculia, virtual manipulatives, and tips for college algebra with dyscalculia. This is our podcast week 33 in 2023. And welcome Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services. And she's coming in to help us go through the links that we've posted on our website, dyscalculiaheadlines.com. Welcome, Dr. Schroeder.
Well, thank you for having me. These are really good posts again this week.
Yes, we have wonderful posts. It is always interesting, but there's some deep research sometimes and sometimes more, easy links. But it's always good to get your perspectives on them. Now, the first one is about what needs to be in a good assessment.
Well, that immediately is one of the top links of this week. It comes from the Learning Disabilities Association of America. And they have developed the LD, Learning Disabilities Institute, which is a cooperation with the University of Arizona SALT Center. And their motto is support, educate, and advocate. And the SALT Center, SALT, stands for Strategic Alternative Learning Techniques. And that is specifically geared up for college students.
Okay. How do they come with these abbreviations, SALT?
But, yes.
It's good to remember.
Now, let me quote you what this work is all about. The purpose of these new interdisciplinary principles and standards is to provide a guide for best practices in the evaluation and identification of specific learning disability. Now, the standards outline a process that professionals can use to develop a comprehensive evaluation and the written report, obviously, that describe the nature of the specific learning disability, the area and levels of impairment, subject areas and personal areas of strength of the examinee. Then also the cultural and linguistic diversity of a student and specific considerations for practitioners to develop individualized interventions that are designed to meet the unique needs of that student, both in academic, linguistic, social, emotional, and behavioral aspect. So the specific learning disability principles and standards are presented in this document, and they are a product of a year-long interdisciplinary research-based collaboration between professional representatives and ambassadors from the fields of school psychology, cognitive psychology, speech and language pathology, special education, literacy, mathematics education, and medicine.
That's quite a
So theme. This is
That's
really a broad
yeah.
field. And it's our hope that the discourse around these research-informed principles and standards will lead to an increased capacity to meet the needs of students with a specific learning disability, and especially for those students who are culturally, racially, or linguistically diverse.
Okay.
So it should help to get some better standards and transparency in this field, instead of having a hodgepodge of different approaches.
Right, because I guess you see a lot of assessments in your line of work.
Yes, and there is a large diversity in them. There is a difference in depth of the assessments and also in the specificity of the interventions and accommodations that are suggested. Anyway, and this is really close to my heart with my experience during my PhD training, I did something similar. I've also participated in review of standards. At that moment, it was more medically oriented. And I'm convinced that these standards and principles will be really a great help for practitioners.
Right, yeah. I think it will improve.
Read through it and also look at the wealth of links that are at this LD Institute. For example, a tool how the Cattell-Horn-Carroll theory of linked brain processes can help to select specific interventions, a link to the MTSS, the multi-tiered system of support. There's a lot of information here. This is definitely worth your
rich,
time.
A rich source of information.
Absolutely.
Now, our next link about something totally different. It talks about back-to-school stress. What is that about?
Yes. That's indeed happening, and it's right now unfolding. The Understood organization has done a study, and it turned out that half of the parents with children under 18 years of age, so those who are in the K-12 education, identified this back-to-school season as the most stressful period of the year.
I do not blame them.
Not the traditional Thanksgiving dinner with the whole family and all the cooking and the in-laws, not the Christmas gifts, giving stress. No, it is the back-to-school period.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, remember, 42% of our parents here in the U.S. have at least one child who is neurodivergent, meaning learning or thinking differently or having ADHD, anxiety, or anything that has to do with...
They're special.
Yes, with the school. And 63% of parents said, like I said, that this period of back to school is the most stressful in the year. And over 90% say that even if they don't have a child with neurodivergent characteristics, there is at least one stressful thing. So just remember also when your child has an IEP and there is a new year coming, you want to connect with all the new teachers and make sure that they all have the information.
Yes,
so there's
they need to get their shots, they need to get their uniform, and
all the material,
they
books.
They need to sign up for their sports teams, and where are the friends going to go, and been there, done that, we fully support the study. Yes.
So the children may have some stress going back to school,
parents
but apparently the
Absolutely.
Parents also suffer.
Now the next link says, going to college with dyscalculia, is that possible?
Yes.
Thank you. Well,
absolutely.
Then that answers that question.
there's
a little bit more to it there. Okay.
So this is from the Number Dyslexia website. And the question is obviously, which major do you want to do?
Oh, okay.
And how is your remediation going? How far have you already come your middle and high school years? Also, you need to make sure that you get the right accommodations for your learning disability. So it's really important that you learn, or you have learned already, to advocate for yourself.
Okay.
Now, this Number Dyslexia blog has listed a number of colleges that have special programs for students with dyscalculia.
That is great.
Very good. Most of them private colleges, but there's also some state colleges.
Okay.
And obviously, the University of Arizona that we just mentioned,
the SALT Center,
one of the best.
Okay.
So a great service, and good to know when you're still searching for a college and when you or your child has dyscalculia.
Yeah, that's a good source. Go to our link.
Yeah, at the beginning of the senior year, this is a good thing to know.
Now the next link is about virtual manipulatives. Does that work?
Yeah. Well, we often say they need to get it into their hands before they can get it into their heads. And this is a challenge when you work online with the children. Right. Now, there are always methods to overcome this. For example, parents and teachers can make sure that the students have access to the actual manipulatives. Well, you can online show them what to do with it and add the explanation.
That would solve that issue, right.
So currently, there's also a lack of old-fashioned physical manipulatives in many schools, and that can be countered by having good visual programs available to work with for teachers in a classroom. So something that they can put on their whiteboard.
Right.
So there are a lot here that we can use. And this is a link by Mashup Math. They have a list with a collection of really good virtual manipulatives, various websites and apps. They have combined that.
Okay.
And having said that, earlier research also shows that for specific groups, and particularly our students with math, LD, and dyscalculia, hands-on manipulatives still are the way to go, are very
still
beneficial.
The way to go. Absolutely, absolutely.
They're beneficial for all, right. all students, but for those, it's really essential.
Right. Now, that brings us to the last link for the week, and it's also about college. It has tips for college algebra with dyscalculia. How's that?
Yeah, here's a student who explains some good tips and workarounds when you have dyscalculia and need to do your college algebra. Now, the best tip, and there's several of them, I find this one. Let me read it. Review a little every day. Even if it's 10 minutes, I forget math so easily. My test scores went up from 25 percentile to 70% this week. And all I'm doing is going back and reading my notes for 10 or 15 minutes every day before homework.
It's like a spiral review.
Yes. You can see that I have copied and pasted, and there's an example on the link, some of the same notes from the previous problem. And this helps me recognize patterns.
Okay.
Now, I'm understanding so much more than I had. And even if you don't understand it, being exposed to the same material over and over and over again will eventually put in it in your memory. I mean, that is at least what I'm telling myself anyway.
He has a good attitude about it.
Absolutely positive attitude about it. And here's another suggestion from our own daughter. Obviously, you take advantage of everything that your college is offering, not only the big lecture hall presentations by your professor, but also the teacher's assistant, the TA hours. Now, very often there are multiple TA hours for each course available.
Right.
She went to all of them.
All of them, okay.
And, well, she passed her exams. Anyway, in this link there are some more good tips. So you can see it's absolutely possible for students who have dyscalculia to do college algebra.
Right.
But we have to say that it comes with a lot of additional work and time.
Work.
You
absolutely.
Need to spend the time to get it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Schroeder, for your insights this week. Indeed, it was a week with very valuable links that will help many people. We hope to see you again next week. Dr. Schroeder, the founder of dyscalculiaservices.com, and she is on her quest to increase the number of dyscalculia tutors in the country. And for this, she has an online course. It's so easy and it's absolutely convenient for you. You can do it every night from your home. And within 3 to 6 months, you'll be a dyscalculia tutor as well. All the information is at dyscalculiatutortraining.org.
Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly is a production from dyscalculiaheadlines.com. You can find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we are on Twitter at dyscalculiahead. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a board on Pinterest and on Flipboard. Search for Dyscalculia Headlines or follow the links on our webpage. You can send your questions, comments, and contributions to communications@dyscalculiaheadlines.com, and we may even discuss it in one of our upcoming podcasts. We hope this was useful for you, and until next week, you can count on us.